This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu. Wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi. Wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih. Wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'ati. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تعمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah for all the favors Allah has bestowed upon us, and we send salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The topic that we have at hand is some of the challenges that are facing us here in our country. And there is no doubt whatsoever, when we look at a situation in our country, there are many challenges, many aspects with regard to concern. Right? On one hand, we know that crime has become quite widespread and people do not feel safe even while they are in their own homes, despite elaborate security arrangements. So we have people who have created great amount and spent great amount on security, but despite that, they do not feel comfortable, they do not feel secure as you are supposed to feel in the privacy and in the realms of your own personal homes. Then, of course, we look at the country, by and large, what do we find? We find a situation where many a times there are protests which recently had erupted, and went into violent protests, which led to the loss of life and led to the loss of property of many people. And it is something that, you know, we read on the newspaper. I'm not going to go elaborate. It is something that we see with regard to what is happening. The unemployment rate in South Africa is something that goes into millions. According to the last figure, something like 6.7 million people in South Africa are unemployed, something like 29% officially. Unofficially, it might be even more than that. And these are the type of situations that we find in our country. The ruling party, we have to say, that has a record of fighting against injustice and oppression. Unfortunately, corruption has become endemic within the ruling party. And while it has sound principles, it has a good constitution, it has a record, it has a good history, the sad situation is members of the ruling party are more concerned with regard to fighting with one another and jostling for power for the sake of monetary gains. That is a reality with regard to what is happening in our country. But however, all of this call for introspection. What do we do in this situation? What are the options that are there with regard to us in the present situations? We need to introspect. Many a times we hear from ulama, and many a times we see whenever there is a situation of concern, whenever there is violent protests in the country, you will hear from the ulama, from the members, and you will hear many ulama organizations telling you, turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is not something that we must take lightly. And many a times you and I, we take things for granted, and we sometimes even make a sort of a, you know, look at it lightheartedly. Or we start, you know, sometimes even making and saying statements that are not supposed to be stated. Why do ulama tell us to turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations, whenever there is difficulty? One of the reasons is, there is always a co-relationship between halat and situations and our amals and our deeds. It is so clear-cut. Anyone who has read the Holy Quran will clearly see that there is a co-relation. We are not forming any judgments, but there is a co-relation between what is happenings and our deeds. Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas. Corruption has appeared in the heavens and earth because of the doings of humankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah's anger and wrath will never come upon you, come upon the ummah, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, when you are amongst the ummah. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah's anger will never come upon people when they are turning towards Almighty Allah. Allah's anger will never come upon people when they are seeking the forgiveness and seeking the help of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when ulama tell us turn towards Almighty Allah in situations like that, there is a lot of wisdom which comes from Quranic injunctions. which comes from the Quranic view. So that is one of the aspects that we have to turn towards Almighty Allah. But on a practical level, we have to do much more than that. And one of the things that we have to do, which is so important for us, is to avoid racist conduct. It's so important for us that we always bear this in mind. When we look at our Sharia and we look at our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam who gave this revolutionary message long before it was trendy, long before the United Nations have resolutions with regard to it, or long before, you know, there is this whole particular aspect of speaking against apartheid or against racism. Long before that, it was our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam who taught humanity and who taught the world with regard to this revolutionary message. And in the khutbah of Hajjatul Wida, what did he say? La fadla li arabiyin ala ajamiyin, wala ajamiyin ala arabiyin. There is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab, or vice versa. Or there is no superiority of the white over the black, or the black over the white, except on the basis of taqwa. All of you start off in an equal footing. Every human being start off in an equal footing. And if anyone surges ahead, if anyone goes ahead, he doesn't go ahead on the basis of his ethnicity. I come from this village. He doesn't go ahead on the basis of his tribe. He doesn't go ahead, or he surges ahead on the basis of the color of his skin. If anyone surges ahead, it's on the basis of his conduct and his righteousness. No other ways, no other aspects. And it is very, very sad if we start generalizing with regard to matters that are happening in our country. We as Muslims throughout the world, we are the victims of generalization. We are the victims of generalization. So if a small group of people who out of desperation or other reasons go and do something, the entire Muslim community in the world has to suffer the consequences with regard to it. So we are the victims of generalization. It will be very sad that we become amongst those who generalize with regard to matters. We have to stay away from racist conduct, and we have to stay away from racist language. One of the definitions of backbiting, not one of the the prime definition of backbiting, which Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked when he was said, you know, when he asked the people, do you know what is ghibat? Do you know what is ghibat? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you must make mention and relate something about people that if they come to know about it, they would dislike that particular type of speaking about them in such a manner. If we have to relate to any group of people, or we have to relate to any individual in a way that if they come to know that you are relating or speaking to them in that manner and they dislike it, according to the definition of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are committing backbiting. When our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when in the time of the conquest of Makkah, after the conquest of Makkah, you know, the conquest of Makkah happened in early morning. It was a time of Zuhr when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, O Bilal, get up in the roof of the Kaaba and call the azan. Perhaps it has never happened again in Islamic history, or very seldom, that a person has got up in the roof of the Kaaba and called out the azan. And when the people of Arabia, upon whom there were still, you know, vestiges of racial superiority and racial prejudice, they saw this, many of them said, we are happy that our father passed away before this day, that he didn't have to see such an occasion where a person, a black Abyssinian slave, is coming on top of the Kaaba and he's giving the call of azan. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to hear about it, he called the people and said, O people, what is this aspects of racist conduct and language I'm hearing? هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرْ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنْ. Now as far as believers are concerned, there are only two categories. As far as Muslims are concerned, there's only two categories, righteousness and irrighteousness, good and evil. There is no other considerations. Those who are good, they are honored in the eyes of Almighty Allah, irrespective of the ethnic backgrounds or the color of their skin. They are honorable. And those who do evil, irrespective of their, you know, background, they are evil, they are not honored in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of their racial background or the color of their skin or the ethnic or tribal background. We are amongst the people when Islam has given us such strong feelings and such strong ta'lim and education on this particular matter, it is essential that we avoid any type of racist conduct in our mindset, in our attitude, in our language. The second thing that we have to do here is, it's such an important point, is stay away from the flaunting of your wealth. Stay away from extravagance. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, "Innal mubathirin kanu ikhwana shayatin." Those who are extravagant, they are the brothers of shaitan. It is not wrong for you to utilize your wealth for the sake of your own comfort. There's nothing wrong with regard to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 20th supara of the Holy Quran, in Suratul Qasas, Allah Ta'ala makes mention with regard to the good of this material wealth. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا عَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek with the wealth Allah has given you, seek akhirat. Don't only seek your comfort. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا عَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek what Allah has given you with regard to wealth. Seek what? Seek with that wealth, دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of this material world. Don't forget your share of making yourself, utilizing your wealth for the sake of your own comfort and needs. Nothing wrong with regard to it. But open flaunting of wealth, what does it do? Our ulama have told us, it creates and it makes the people who are poor feel deprived. It creates distress. It arouses bitterness. It arouses bitterness. Therefore, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal when he was going towards Yemen, "O Mu'az, iyaka wa tana'um, fa inna ibadallahi laysu bil mutana'imin." O Mu'az, stay away from a very ostentatious way of living. The servants of Allah are not given to an ostentatious way of living. To calling, speaking about this creating bitterness, Hazrat Mufti Rafi Osmani came many years back to South Africa, and in one talk I was with there, and he related one amazing incident. He said, when I was small, they grew up in the village of Deoband. So they were not, you know, they were people who grew up and they were born in Deoband. Mufti Taqi Saab and Mufti Rafi, Mufti Taqi Saab went away to Pakistan at the age of five or six. So in the early years, he grew up in Deoband because that was his father's home village. So he said that once we were invited to a very great alim by the name of Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussein Shah Saab. He was known as Mia Saab. So he said, after we had, you know, eaten, we as young people, we said we will make khidmat. We will take away the table and we will clear the tablecloth. So Mia Saab said, do you know how to clear the tablecloth? He said, what is it to clear the tablecloth? We will take the plates and we will clean up. And he said, what will you do? He said, we will take the fruit that we have, the peels of the fruit, we will take it and we will put it in the dustbin. So do you know what Maulana Asghar Hussein Shah Saab told him? He said, don't take out those peels and put it in the local dustbin. So he said, why? He said, the people of our community can't afford fruits. When they see the peels of the fruit, they will feel hurt. Take this fruits and the peels of the fruit, wrap it up and go and throw it at a distance so that the people don't feel bitterness and then don't feel deprived because they can't afford it. Stay away from flaunting of your wealth where you create and arouse bitterness and you create a sense of depravity amongst the people who cannot afford it. This is what we are supposed to do. And very importantly, brothers, we are going to live in this country. How many percentage of the people who are there who can afford to go out and go and make themselves and go abroad to go and, you know, go and stay somewhere else? 2%? 3%? How many people? Majority 5%? 95% of the people who are Muslims here are going to stay in this country. Now, if you are going to stay in this country, you have to make yourself, you have to make and play your role with regard to making this place the best of places so that you can live together with harmony with the people who are around you. And that is an aspect that we have to keep in mind. So if you are going to stay here in this country, what do you do? You can't only speak about the problems. I mean, you can't only speak about the situation that is in this country. What is your role in being amongst those who create a solution to the problems? When you look at our deen has never made mention that you always look at the problems. Islam has taught us that you must be solution orientated. You can talk about the problems till the cows come home. Start talking about the solutions. What is your effort and what is your role in creating a solution to the problems that are facing the country? And then when we look at Islamic history, we find enough solutions. We find that Muslims have found themselves in similar type of situations. What did they do? The first thing, yes, we have to create an environment for ourselves and our children in which we remain steadfast upon the deen. We cannot compromise on our deen. You have to make arrangements with regard to the steadfastness of deen for yourself and your family members, never take this to be lightly. It was Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam, where Allah Ta'ala says in the first surah of the Holy Quran, Am kuntum shuhada idh hadara Yaqub al-maut. Were you present when Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam was in the final moments of his life, when he was about to depart from this world? What did he do? Idh hadara iqala li banihi ma ta'buduna min ba'di. Oh my children, who are you going to worship after I pass away? Who are you going to worship after I pass away? I ask you this question. Who is asking this question, my dear respected brothers? A Nabi of Allah, whose father was a Nabi of Allah. Huh? Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam's father was Ishaq alayhi salam. His grandfather was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Huh? His son is Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And he is asking his children, who are you going to worship after I pass away? What is the state of your iman going to be? If we are going to remain in this country, it is essential for us to make the necessary steps to see that iman remains in our children. That's one. The second thing is, whenever we look at history, whenever Muslims had come in any place, there was one aspect that was foremost and dominant in their way. They always kept a good relationship of kindness, sympathy, and helping the people, the local people of the land in which they remained. Whenever they kept to that, Allah Ta'ala kept them steadfast and Allah Ta'ala kept them in that land. Whenever they left that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled them from that land. When the Muslims came into Spain, go and look at the history. You know, the Roderick, whose daughter was abused by the king of Spain, called the Muslims to help him. They came into Spain. They were welcomed by the locals because the Muslims came with a different mindset into Spain. They came with a mindset that we are going to help the people of Spain who had undergone great amount of oppression and injustice from the rulers of that particular time. Muslims were welcomed. They were welcomed for 800 years. The day they started in a way where the local people, when they turned away, when they're not worried about the local people, they got involved in their own wealth, in their own squabbles of power. Then what happened? The very same people who welcomed them many centuries back, those very same people expelled them and killed them. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani gave a talk recently in UK. And last night I took the very same transcript of his talk and I wrote it down. I said, let me share that with people. As a student of deen, says Mufti Taqi Usmani, it is necessary to know the psychology, social culture of the local people whom you are living with, their problems, their mentality, their thoughts, and work to remedy and to provide solutions with regard to their particular type of difficulties. When are we going to start doing that? That has been the history of Muslims whenever they went. You know, I recently, there was a brother who came here from Sri Lanka, Maulana Fazil. He was someone who was a good. He said, Maulana, we were so well established in Sri Lanka. We had everything that you could ever think of. We had, you know, freedom of religion. We had everything. Then a right-wing group started creating enmity and hostility against the Muslims in the national press. We answer one, there's another particular type of situation that came. Our visibility, which we took pride in Sri Lanka, became a problem for us. They started saying, you are cultural invaders in this land. You are not part of this land. You bring about things from other countries and you keep your own particular state. You are not loyal to the land in which you are living in. He said, everything changed. To such an extent that we had to make fatwas that don't dress in a manner that you are so visible that people look upon you in a way that is suspicious. When are we going to be able to set? And remember, there's a strong link. So these I'm trying to show you that when are we going to be a part of the solution? And only talk of when are we going to be? I know that sometimes we can say that, yeah, the problem is so big, we don't have the means to be able to provide solutions. But at least start thinking in the direction, start playing your role. There is such a strong link. There is such a strong link in Islam between our deen and a social conscience. There is such a strong link. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen those who deny religion? Have you seen those who deny religion? Now you and I, our understanding of religion, maybe the next ayat we would have felt, maybe the next ayat is those who deny religion, who do not read namaz, who do not read salat, who do not make zikr. What did Allah Ta'ala says? فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُبُّ عَلَىٰ تَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. It is those who repel the orphans and who do not encourage the feeding of the poor. There are 6.7 million people who are unemployed in this country. Have we thought about it? Have we given it a thought? There are, according to one stat, 870 million people in this world every day go and sleep hungry. 870 million people go and sleep hungry every day. Sahaba said when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from Makkah to Medina, and when he came, you know, when he came into Medina, people wanted to know, listen, people like Abdullah ibn Salam, who had read in the scripture that the last Nabi of Allah will come and he will migrate. Right? People like that, all of them, Hazrat Salman al-Farsi, who was looking and he had searched for the last prophet, and someone told him, go to Medina, the last prophet of Allah will come there. So when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, when everyone was very keen to listen, what is this Nabi who has migrated from Makkah to Medina? What is going to tell them? And those Sahaba who went to listen to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when we came to listen to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his first talk, his first message, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, wa'at'imu ta'am, wasilu al-arham, wasallu bil-layli wan-nasu niyam, tadkhulu al-jannata bis-salam. O people, spread the salam amongst you, spread peace amongst people. Keep good with your relatives. Feed the poor. Feed the poor. And keep yourself also steadfast upon deen. Read salat in the early hours of the morning when people are sleeping. Allah will keep you peaceful here. Allah will put you into Jannah. Maybe you can't. You can say, all right, we don't have the means to be able to do so. At least have kindness and compassion to the people who are going through difficulty. Sajjad Nomani, Maddazilul Alim, he makes mention, he said, I used to see my father. My father was a very great buzruk, Maulana Manzoor Nomani, Maddazilul Alim. He came to South Africa, I think, in the 1968 or 69, round about that. And I read some of his travels when he was here. He gave very valuable lessons and wisdom to the people of South Africa. He said, my father used to have an amazing thing I used to see about him. He used to say, he used to leave home, and amongst the family members, he used to smile, he used to be happy, he used to be cheerful when he left the home. I used to see him the moment he got onto the streets of the country. All of a sudden, I could see that there was a change in his facial expressions. I saw that he was sad. He was like worried. He was anxious. So one day I asked him, I said, oh my father, I see when you leave the house, you are cheerful, you are happy. And then when you go on the streets, I see all of a sudden you are full of anxiety, full of anxiousness. You are sad. What is the reason? He said, when I go and I see the problems of the people, of course at that time, and maybe today also, there's still a great amount of poverty in India. When I look at the poverty of the people, I look at the people who are sitting as beggars on the streets. You know, I feel hurt with regard to their situation. And then in that particular situation, I change, my facial expressions change. I feel ashamed that I can't help them. The most I can do is to make dua. And every person I see in difficulty, I make dua for them. Oh Allah, open up his way for him. Oh Allah, grant him prosperity in this world in the year after. What hope, what life is those people who are staying on the streets? What life do they have? What life do they have? They've got no family to go back to. They've got no shelter to go back to. Have we ever given it some thought that all right, you can't help them to the extent of giving them any shelter? Can't you just spare a smile to them? Can't you just make a dua for them? Ya Allah, they are unemployed. Ya Allah, give them some sort of employment one day. Ya Allah, give them some sort of happiness one day. When are we going to be part of the solution? Rather than always complaining with regard to the aspect of, and this is, remember, when you are together in an entire togetherness, you rise together or you fall together. There is no way you can be in an island of prosperity, in a sea of poverty. Either you're rising together or you're going to fall together. One day the disgruntlement of the people who are in poverty are going to come and impact upon you. Therefore, we have this beautiful saying that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with something, don't make your fences longer. Make your tables longer. Don't make your fences longer to stay away from the people. Make your tables longer to be able to interact with the people, to help to the best of your ability, to the best of your extent. That is what something was established. You see, when our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and let me conclude with this, you know, we can go and give many other. When our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam started off his message, When he started off giving the message of Islam, what did he say? What did he tell the people on the Mount of Safa? Oh people, if I have to tell you that there is an army behind me, would you agree? Would you accept me, what I'm saying? Would you accept in what I'm saying that there is an army behind me? What did they say? They said, yeah, oh Muhammad, we have spent 40 years of our life with you. We have never ever heard you speaking lies. If you have to tell us that there's an army behind this mountain that is waiting to attack us, we will accept what you are saying. After he established his credentials as a person of honesty, a person of integrity, a person of kindness and compassion, a person who was truthful, then Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, "Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." Oh people, say la ilaha illallah, you will be successful. If you want to make an impact, first start establishing your credential as people of integrity, people of honesty. And of course, we know about the corruption that is endemic in our country. In every particular type of problem, there is an opportunity. Here is an opportunity for us to rise above the muck of corruption, to rise above the muck of what is happening, of dishonesty and disintegrity and a whole lot of problems. There's an opportunity for you to rise above the muck, to be able to show what our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established. Establish your credentials as a person who is honest, who's a man of integrity, a man of kindness, a man of compassion. Then inshallah, you will be part of the solution instead of being part of the problem. And Islam has always come to be part of the solution, not to be part of the problem. May Allah give us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.